that first presentation will be on how lawyers look at making the case for the reliability of the New Testament.
Craig Parton talking about his presentation at this summer's Issues Etc. Making the Case conference.
The information we have about Jesus, primarily about his life and death and resurrection, primarily comes from the four Gospels, certainly from the rest of the New Testament. But if the record we have of Jesus Christ can't be relied on, we're doomed.
You can meet and hear Craig Parton making the case for the historical Jesus June 13th and 14th at the Issues Etc. Making the Case conference in Collinsville, Illinois. For more information, just look for the Making the Case logo at our homepage, issuesetc.org, or call 618-223-8385, 618-223-8385. The Issues Etc. Making the Case conference, June 13th and 14th in Collinsville, Illinois. Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. The lead from Fox News says, after 2 weeks of heated debate, liberal and conservative countries early Saturday approved a UN document to promote equality for women that reaffirms the sexual and reproductive rights of all women and endorses sex education for adolescents. That sounds like something we're accustomed to hearing coming from international organizations like the UN. This is being portrayed by the media as another victory for the pro-choice movement internationally, globally, is it? Joining us to talk about a United Nations document on women, Wendy Wright. She's Vice President for Government Relations for CFAM, Catholic Family and Human Rights Institute. Wendy, welcome back.
Thank you. Glad to be on.
It's certainly being portrayed as kind of another feather in the cap for the international pro-choice movement. You were there at the UN. What do you think?
When I've been going to these meetings for nearly 15 years, and I didn't see nothing quite that different in this document than what has passed in the past. And so I was quite surprised to read these news accounts on Fox News and in the Associated Press portraying it as if it's some kind of great advancement for the abortion movement. It's the status quo. It's the same kind of language we've seen in previous documents. And in some measures, it was a huge loss for the abortion and particularly the homosexual movement because they desperately wanted to get recognition and legitimization for what is called sexual orientation and gender identity or lesbian, gay, bisexual, transgender rights. And that was soundly defeated. So this is, I guess, what you would call spin, how the media is reporting this right now, as if it was some great advance, when in fact it was just simply the status quo.
What exactly, how would you describe the elements of this document? What is it seeking to, in the language, kind of the most neutral language of the media coverage, to reaffirm?
Yes. Well, this was held during a UN commission on the status of women, and it's to affirm the rights of women. So this document did reflect that there should be gender equality between men and women. But what the radical feminists, which are reflected by the U.S. delegation, the European Union, some Latin American countries, what they really wanted was language that would promote abortion on demand, sexual orientation and gender identity rights, no recognition of the importance of the family. Well, what the document ended up doing was stating there should be gender equality. Okay, we all agree with that. No problem with that. There's no mention of sexual orientation, gender identity. That's a good thing. The language regarding sexual and reproductive health, that can be problematic, but really only if nations will allow it to be problematic, because in this document it says that it's really up to each nation to implement policies regarding sexual and reproductive health. Now, I will say, though, there was another document that was passed the same night, late Friday night. We were there until 2 in the morning, and this second document was a resolution on HIV/AIDS. And on that one, it was actually very disturbing to see what happened. It was African countries, really the poorest of the African countries, that introduced this resolution, and they wanted to promote policies that are known to work in reducing HIV/AIDS. And as we all know, HIV/AIDS is just decimating societies in the poorest of African countries. And HIV/AIDS is transmitted through behavior. So the solution should be addressing the behaviors. So, for example, if a person starts engaging in sexual activity at an early age, they're more likely to have more sexual partners throughout their lifetime, and that puts them at greater risk of getting HIV/AIDS. So this document that was introduced, the resolution introduced by these poor African countries, was promoting a delay of sexual debut. That just means putting off, not having your first sexual encounter until you're older. And would you believe it was European countries and the U.S. and some European-led Latin countries that at the last minute introduced a really sneaky move to change the language, to delete that phrase? So countries in which they see HIV/AIDS as simply a platform to promote sexual license, sex on demand, they're the ones who were arguing that we should not be encouraging young people to not engage in sexual activity at an early age. And it was the African countries who want to encourage delaying sexual activity. To me, it was really disturbing as I saw these African countries arguing and really begging, pleading for recognition that kids should not be engaging in sexual activity because it's going to put them at greater risk of HIV. And they were being jeered and hissed at by these non-government organizations, these activists that were in the UN room wearing T-shirts, holding signs, belittling these African countries who want to promote sexual morality in order to save their children's lives. They were jeered at, and yet when the European countries and the U.S. were demanding that this language be deleted, these activists were loudly cheering and applauding them. It was really a shameful night at the U.N.
One of the activists who may or may not have been speaking to that particular issue, but is quoted in the media, Egyptian minister and women's rights activist Tervat Tawali, said the following. They're quoted as saying the following. I'd like your reaction, Wendy. We will never give in to the prevailing web of conservatism against women in all regions of the world. We should not allow fundamentalists and extreme groups to disarm women of their rights. She said, I am speaking for all women of the world. We will continue the struggle for our rights. What is your reaction there?
Yeah, I will say many of us were quite confused as to how this particular woman ended up being the lead spokesman for Egypt. Egypt is generally thought of as being promoting conservative policies at the UN, particularly when it comes to sexual politics. And she comes from a whole different viewpoint. So I'm not sure what's going on with the Egyptian government in which she was promoting and was really speaking on behalf of not all women of the world, as she claimed, but was speaking on behalf of these really radical pro-abortion and pro-homosexual groups. Now, her language sounds pretty good about women's rights, and when you would picture that if it's an Egyptian woman speaking about this, you would think that she was talking about these rather terrible Islamic, Islamist policies, the really atrocious policies being promoted in the name of Islam. But that really wasn't what she was referring to. I think that was it was partly what she was referring to, but she was mainly referring to policies that would respect the sanctity of human life and the right of an unborn child to live, and policies that respect sexual morality, which is also the healthiest way to live. So that this may actually be the reason why this little-known UN commission got this widespread attention in the media is because this Egyptian woman, who she was the lead spokesman for Egypt, and that's not what you would expect from the Egyptian government.
Wendy Wright is Vice President for Government Relations for CFAM, Catholic Family and Human Rights Institute. You'll find a link to CFAM under the Listen on Demand page at issuesetc.org. Wendy, thank you very much for your time.
Thank you. Appreciate being on.
The Issues Etc. Book of the Month for March is about marriage, Your Marriage by God's Design. It's written by Scott and Julie Stiegemeyer. They've both been guests here on issues, etc. It's a primer on natural marriage, on God's gift of marriage. It approaches marriage not as a human institution or contrivance, but as a gift that God has given to all humanity, and especially in the context of the Christian marriage and family. It explores the biblical material that you would find replete in Holy Scripture on God's gift of marriage. Find out more about Your Marriage by God's Design at our website, issuesetc.org, or call Concordia Publishing House and order the Issues, Etc. Book of the Month for March, Your Marriage by God's Design, 1-800-325-3040. 1-800-325-3040. In Hour 2 of Issues, Etc. on this Monday afternoon, we're going to be talking with Chris Roseborough, an update on the publishing and plagiarism scandals involving Mark Driscoll of Mars Hill Church in Seattle. Well, the allegations are now quite old. They continue to multiply, but an odd thing is happening at Mars Hill. Instead of responding to the plagiarism allegations or apologizing for the plagiarism on the part of Mark Driscoll or his staff or whoever was doing the writing where the plagiarism took place, they're simply deleting the writings in question. They're just disappearing off the web. Is that the way to respond? Chris Roseborough will join us to get an update on Mark Driscoll and Mars Hill. Then Pastor Tom Baker teaches a Sunday school lesson with us, Jesus healing a blind man in John chapter 9. That's Hour 2 of Issues, Etc. in 5 minutes.
Listen weekday afternoons to Pastor Todd Wilkin and guests on Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is vital for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our mailing address, Lutheran Public Radio, P.O. Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also donate at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues Etc. is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.
Thanks to the following congregations for standing with us by joining the Issues Etc. 300. Holy Trinity Lutheran, Garfield, New Jersey. Grace Lutheran, Naples, Florida. St. John's Lutheran, Chicago, Illinois. St. Paul Lutheran, Unionville, Michigan. Mount Calvary Lutheran, Beverly Hills, California. Epiphany Lutheran, Door, Michigan. The Good Shepherd Lutheran, Inglewood, California. St. John's Lutheran, Sayville, New York. Apostles Lutheran, Melrose Park, Illinois. Christ Our Savior Lutheran, Elizabeth, Colorado. Grace Lutheran, Strasburg, Illinois. And Bethel Lutheran, Thunder Bay, Ontario, Canada. Find out how your church can support this worldwide outreach by including Issues Etc. in your mission or advertising budget. Just go to our website, issuesetc.org, click support, and print a one-page flyer. When your congregation joins the Issues Etc. 300, we'll publicize your congregation on the radio, at our website, and in the Issues Etc. journal, the Issues Etc. 300.